Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Welcome, everybody. It's a joy to celebrate this solemnity with you. And Christmas is one of those things about Christmas that always draws my attention, always captures my attention, is the nativity scene, the manger scene, whether in, art or in, something like this. It always draws my attention. And often in art, it's portrayed such that it's dark, like, Jesus being born at night. Everything is dark, and then the manger is this source of light. There's this glow of light coming from the manger, piercing the darkness. And a lot of the times, the way it's portrayed is even that the center of that light, the source of that light, is baby Jesus, right? It's from him that this light is piercing the darkness. And I love that because it's expressing the reality that's happening at Christmas. And like, what is the Christmas message? Like, what is Christmas saying about, reality? And it's this, that our human condition without God and before Jesus came was darkness, spiritual darkness, being spiritually blind and not able to see. And that at Christmas, the light that enlightens everyone has come into the world to pierce the darkness, to take away our blindness and restore our sight. The light that shines in the darkness, that the darkness has not overcome and cannot overcome, is this baby Jesus, who, when he would grow into a man, would say of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, I don't know if you can relate to walking in darkness, whether spiritual darkness or even just physical darkness. I have had plenty of occasions to be lost in the darkness because I am a deer hunter, and that's a thing we do sometimes. One occasion especially stands out to me is just thinking about what Jesus says about himself as the light of the world. It was a couple of, maybe 4 years ago now, I went into this big chunk of public land to go deer hunting, and I went way into the middle of it, and I went in during the daytime, but when it got dark, I started to head back to my car, upon doing so, I realized I had no flashlight or headlamp, and my cell phone battery was dying. So I walked back, said, "That's fine, I'll walk back in the dark. I'll be fine, I can reckon my way, even blind, I got this." So I didn't get, I got halfway back to my car when, from about 10 yards away in front of me, in the darkness, a loud roar and a large animal crashing away from me in the brush. It went up a tree, and from like 30 feet up in a tree was roaring at me over and over. And you didn't have to tell me what it was. I knew what it was. I've been hunting for 30-some years in Michigan, and I thought, oh, okay. Well, I guess there's a mountain lion right here, and this is fine. This is not. So I turned the light on my cell phone. Oh, I turned that on. Yeah. My battery, how it gives you a percentage of like what percentage of your battery is left? I just had a red exclamation point. I was like, I don't really care. I'm turning the light on for this. I had to walk past where the lion was up in a tree. I had to pretty much walk right past that tree to get to my car because that's really the only way I knew back. So I thought, okay. The light's coming on, and I started to talk to it because it apparently had decided at an alarmingly close distance. It had maybe seen me. I don't know. But it made a judgment call not to pounce on me. Thanks be to God. I regret nothing I have ever eaten in my whole life. And I'm thinking like, well, I want this thing to know I'm human, so I started just talking to it. Like, hey, definitely human. You don't want to attack me. I'm very dangerous. I'm not. I had a bow with all the arrows quivered and a cell phone. Like, I don't know what I would have done. And I'm like, you don't want to attack me. You don't want to eat me. I'm filled with cholesterol and fatty plaques. And I'm a Lions fan. Same team. I didn't say that last part, which would have been. So I got past that tree, and then I turned to this uphill section that gets really thick and brushy. And it was early season; the leaves were still on the trees, and I got turned around. I took some wrong turns. I realized I'm going in circles. And if you showed me a map, I could have pointed right to where I was, and I knew I needed to go north. I just had no idea where I was facing. I didn't know which way was north. So I didn't have a compass app on my phone. I do now. I turned on the Onyx Hunt and started tracking myself. I just picked a direction I thought was north and went in as straight a line as possible. crashing through brush and briars and everything. And I was, what I thought was north, I was way off. I was more than 60 degrees off, which would have been a long walk. But I realized the line that I was, you know, laying down, and I took a right turn, and then I started tracking north, and I got out actually pretty quickly. That phone totally saved my night. Saved me from a long walk and, you know, being wandering around in circles with an angry lion around. And, you know, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he said that to the people of his time in a term they could understand. If he was here, if he was born in our time, like, what would he say now? And for as many times as I've told you cell phones are evil, just take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt, right? Maybe Jesus would say, I am the Samsung Galaxy of the world. All right? Not the iPhone, but the Samsung Galaxy, okay? Whoever has me will navigate safely to his destination. Without me, you are blind. This is what Jesus is telling us. You, without me, you are blind and you're lost and you're directionless. You don't know what's there. You can't even see what's in front of you. You lose the path. You're blind without me. But I've come to restore your sight. I can see the things that you cannot see. I need you to trust me. Yes, I trusted my phone. Obviously, we're not talking about being lost in the woods or something. Which, I mean, admittedly, being lost in the Manistee National Forest or with a mountain lion, like, that's suboptimal, you know. But it's not that big of a deal, usually. It's certainly not a big deal compared with being lost, like, in life and being spiritually blind. That's a big deal. And we also, often we feel that as well. Why are we spiritually blind? Well, it comes to us for different things. I mean, sometimes it's just the simple fact that we don't believe in God, or we don't trust God, or we haven't entrusted our life to him, or we haven't invited Jesus into this part of our life. It's just doubt, okay, or distance in the relationship. That blinds us. Doubt really blinds us. Sins, the wrong turns that we take, they disorient us more. So yes, our sins do spiritually blind us, but even before any of that, it's just our human condition. You know, it's not that you did something wrong in the first place. It's that that's our human condition. Ever since Adam and Eve, who turned away from God in the Garden of Eden, when they had incredible companionship, would walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what Adam did. Like face-to-face companionship with God, but turned away from him, and we've inherited some of the consequences of that. So it's just our human condition. When Jesus comes to rescue us and to pierce the darkness, it doesn't really matter why it's there. He doesn't care. He's there to save us. But it is there. That spiritual blindness is there. And sometimes we experience that, like we notice it. I think when we're making decisions, would be one of those times. Like, well, I could either go this way or this way. I could go to this school or this school. I could take this job or this job. I could live over here or move over here. This relationship or no. And there are times where we all come to those decisions and we say, I don't know which way to choose. I'm just blind to see past this. I don't know the way. And that's where Jesus wants to be invited, to enlighten the eyes of our minds, to know what his plans and purposes are, to know what is for our good, because he knows what's good for us and he wants our good. And sometimes the spiritual blindness is much more profound than that, even just, I don't know if there is a God. I don't believe in God. Does he know me? Does he love me? Why do I even exist? Like, what is my life supposed to be about anyway? And a lot of those questions, those are the questions where the Lord wants to be invited in, like the real questions in life. And there's something that happened in Hawaii that illustrates what I'm talking about with this spiritual blindness and Jesus piercing the darkness. In 1866, on the island of Molokai in Hawaii, a leper colony was established. Of course, back then, the medical advancements weren't what they are now. And so if somebody had leprosy, they were taken out of their family and quarantined. Okay, they were taken away from their family, away from their whole life, put in this leper colony because it is a contagious disease. Okay, so they go to the leper colony, and it's a contagious disease, so they're avoiding everybody. It's disfiguring. And then it's fatal. So they get taken away from their whole life, put on this colony where they will eventually die. they'll never leave. You might think that that sort of an experience would have made the people there more religious, and you'd be wrong, very wrong. The spiritual darkness on this leper colony was incredible. Lives of just massive amounts of drunkenness, promiscuity, violence, and crime. There were no police. Who's going to police them? They're lepers. It was lawless, and it was just a spiritually dark place. People blinded to their own dignity. They believed God didn't love them or forgot about them. Their own families wouldn't even, you know, ever see them again, wouldn't maybe had their own family obligations or just abandoned them. And they were blinded to God's love, to their own dignity, and they just lived lives of total despair. Maybe trying for momentary pleasure, maybe not even that. And into that spiritual darkness came Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And Jesus came in the person of a carpenter, well, of a Catholic priest who happened to be good at carpentry. He was Father Damien was de Voister from Belgium. So he's from Belgium. He's halfway around the world from home. He volunteers to be their priest. He goes and he builds houses. He builds orphanages. He's dressing their wounds and treating them with dignity and care. Like, you know, think about that. Like, really showing them, I don't see you as untouchable or like, I got to keep my distance. I'm going to nurse you back to health. He treated them with dignity and brought, of course, he built churches, or at least a church. And he brought the light of the gospel, the good news that there is a God who loves you. And basically, he would say, you see how I treat you with dignity. You see how I love you. That's because, well, first of all, it's not because I'm a leper, because he wasn't when he got there. It's not because I have a family member here, because he didn't. I'm doing this because there's a God who created you and gave you that dignity. There's a God who loves you and wants a relationship with you. He made you for communion with himself. That same God, when you turned away from him and sinned and did all of these things, he came to die for your sins so that you could be forgiven. Talking to them about the cross of Jesus and what it means. And he has risen from the dead and he is alive and he gives eternal life to those who believe in him. There's in the spiritual, the blindness, the scales fell off of their eyes, as they say. When Father Damien died, and he did get leprosy there, and he did die there, he didn't leave. By that time, the vast majority of the people in that colony had turned away from their lives of sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their salvation, as the God who created them with great dignity and with great love, and began that they could see, like Jesus had enlightened the eyes of their minds to know who they were. To know the God who has made them. They trusted him. Yes, I trusted you, Jesus. You did die for my sins. It's something they could all relate to very well. But they're forgiven now. And eternal life, something they actually had hoped to believe in because they had seen God's love. And even believing and knowing, actually, God even has plans and purposes for me right now in this leper colony. I actually have a purpose to my life that doesn't have to be returning to the my old life the way that it was. It's right here. God has plans for me right here. How often is that the lie that blinds us? Oh, I can't serve God right here. Oh, God's purposes and plans for my life can't be accomplished since I didn't do this or if I couldn't get that. There's blindness there, and that was taken away from them so that they could see right then and there they can serve God, they can serve others. Jesus, the light of the world, comes into our blindness. And all of the many ways in which we experience that, he comes to us, and then the most loving way possible, he says, you are blind, but I have come to restore your sight. I can see the things that you cannot see. I need you to trust me. Today, as we celebrate Christmas, what we are celebrating is that when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, he enlightens the eyes of our minds. He enlightens the eyes of our hearts. He allows us to see who he is, to see who we are, and to receive the gift of eternal life but also to see the way forward, even now, both in this life and in the next, to know him, the light of the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you come in search of us, that you come into any area where there is darkness or where we are blind, where we cannot see what to do, where we've taken wrong turns. Jesus, we invite you to show us the way, to enlighten the eyes of our minds and of our hearts. We ask you, Jesus, that you would give each one of us the gift of faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.